This is Forum. I'm John Michaels, Public Affairs Radio Director with Thomas E. Riggs, Major Riggs of the Salvation Army. And it's taken a little bit to get you down here to even talk because it's such a busy time of year for you.
It has. We have just been swamped as I was leaving this afternoon to come down here. Today we're doing our Thanksgiving food distribution, and our parking lot is full. People are going down the walkway. It's just full. There's a lot of need, and it's evident when you come by the Salvation Army and you see our parking lot full, and it's because people are there looking for some type of physical assistance.
Tell us how, you know, you've been here in Sioux Falls for how long now?
Oh, just slightly over a year now. We came, was in August of last year, so this is our second Christmas
and
here in Sioux Falls.
How many different towns have you been in as a major?
Oh, my. Well, we're 31 years as officers, my wife and I, in the Salvation Army, and we spent the last 19 years in Michigan, and we were in appointments in Michigan from Niles, Michigan, down on the southwestern side of the state, all the way up to Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, on the Canadian border, and so we've been able to serve quite a few places. We've served in Missouri and Indiana, and now here in South Dakota.
How does Sioux Falls compare to some of those other places?
Well, this is probably our largest appointment. We have a lot of things that are going on here in the world of social services that we had a few of the same kind of things going on. We always, there's a core group of programs that all the Salvation Army is involved in, and social work and casework is one of those. But the magnitude of casework that we see here is larger than what we've experienced in other locations.
A lot of people don't realize that you're kind of the center for a lot of the groups that work in Sioux Falls. I know the banquet feeds people during the week, but on weekends, Saturdays, it's the Salvation Army.
Well, that's true. On Saturdays and Sunday, we call what we Army program, we call it a night watch program, and that is in place of the banquet. You know, they're serving 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. They're doing a fantastic job, and it helps their staff to have a little bit of a respite, a little time off. We're seeing right now, we're averaging about 230, 260 meals per night in our building, and it's grown since we've been here.
Well, I know any retail store that would say if we could get 250 people walk through our front door on a Sunday, that would be really good business.
That would be good business. You figure they're going to be bringing in some cash and, mm-hmm. and resources to the community, and what the people are bringing into us is that they're needing resources.
Yeah.
And we're providing not just a meal, which is, John, in and of itself fantastic, but we're providing an opportunity for fellowship. We're providing an opportunity where they can connect with friends. And we're not just seeing the street people. We're seeing families, whole families come in. And even a couple of times during the late summer, early fall, we were seeing just children coming in who might have been playing over at the skate park and stopped at our place to get a bite to eat.
Well, when you're hungry, people will do just about anything. And that trouble is that's when they'll maybe write that bad check. Or they'll wipe somebody's something that they can get enough money to get something to eat. When you're hungry, people will do just about anything, and they get in trouble, and it's a vicious circle.
Well, and that's so true. When people get hungry, they look for something to meet that immediate need, and I'm glad that the Salvation Army partnering with other agencies, volunteer groups, with Hy-Vee and with Panera Bread, because we receive bread from Panera regularly. We receive sweets and bread from Hy-Vee regularly, and we're able to give these things away to people free of charge. And so people are able to come into the Salvation Army, say on a Saturday night or a Sunday night, and to be able to get something to eat. And then that helps stretch their budget. It gives them more resources to be able to meet the needs of their family. So if we're able to help with just a little bit, providing that one meal or two meals a week, then that gives them an opportunity to maybe have a time out as a family, maybe to go out to McDonald's, maybe to do something nice like that. You know, the things that I might just take for granted are something that is special.
Or maybe put a gallon of gas in their car.
Exactly.
So they can go to work.
Exactly. And, you know, and then that stretches their resources again, helps meet their need. And so we're working together to offset need, working together to minister to the whole person.
Well, the whole community works together, and what I'm getting at is there's a good network here. Faith Temple has their food giveaway on Friday afternoons, and I think Hy-Vee gave away 1,000 turkeys.
Exactly. You got the hospitals that are involved mm-hmm. in stuff, Hy-Vee's involved in stuff. Well, we just sent our canteen this last food giveaway, and provided over 400 hot dogs on one night, a couple hundred hot dogs on the second day, as we were partnering with them, helping to meet the people's needs. And so we work with these other churches, partnering with these other agencies to meet the physical as well as the emotional needs of our community.
And I know you work with Catholic Social Services and Lutheran Social Services as kind of a clearinghouse a little bit, so that people aren't coming in and asking for donations from one side of town and going to the other side of town and asking for donations. You do kind of keep a central record of all of this and keep it organized.
Well, that's correct. We do, because we want to make sure that the available dollar is being used to meet the maximum amount of need. And we know that there are a few people who are just out to get whatever they can get. And we want to make sure that we're not duplicating everything that's going on, that people are having their resources met and that things are being done. And that provides enough resources for everyone in the community to be able to have things that they need.
Well, and also, I've talked to a lot of majors over the years, because you're usually in town for, what, 3-4 years at a time?
About that. That's usually the average stay. They're trying to lengthen it out more because they realize, you know, the Salvation Army Administration in general realizes that it takes basically 1 year really to get your feet wet, to know what's going on in the community, another year to really be able to connect with the other agencies. And so we're in our second year, and my wife and I, after 30 years of service, have learned just to get into a community and hit the ground running.
Well, one thing I've learned from all of that is that the Salvation Army is one of the most efficient. When you give a dollar to the Salvation Army, it's the biggest amount that goes to where it needs to of any charity that I know of.
Well, thank you. We want to make sure that happens. I believe right now it's about 80% or 82%, 82 cents basically out of every dollar stays right here in the community to meet the basic human needs of the community. And, I have a minimal staff. I don't have a huge staff over at the Salvation Army to reach out to people's needs. So we use those dollars, those resource dollars, to be able to help somebody with a prescription. And you and I both know that prescription costs are high. And so there is that need for insurance for a larger population. And so we're able to help the senior who's, stretching it, the young family who's struggling to stretch their resources. We help with rent, with utilities, with food.
I think most senior citizens, on average, have at least 5 different medications I think they're on by the time they're 60 or whichever. And they have to choose between, should I take my blood pressure or cholesterol pill or eat?
Oh, well, sadly, that's the case. My wife and I, you talk about that magic 60 number, my wife and I are both take medications for blood pressure and other things like that. And my wife, who needs to use an insulin shot, one of her prescriptions alone, out-of-pocket cost is $100, and that's after our insurance. Mm-hmm. And when you're figuring you got to spend out $100 a month, $1,200 a year just for one prescription, it really becomes costly.
We're speaking with Thomas E. Riggs, Major of the Salvation Army in Sioux Falls. And how big a region do you kind of cover here in your stay here?
Well, the office out of Sioux Falls covers all of Lincoln and Minnehaha County. So we cover this entire area around here to meet physical need. If a disaster were to happen, we stretch all the way down our canteen's available to go up to Watertown, to go to Mitchell, to go all over the general area.
Well, right now you're in your kettle.
Yes.
The kettles are out, and a lot of people don't realize that this is one of your major sources for the funds all year round.
Well, that's correct. Through the Salvation Army Red Kettle Program, this gives us the opportunity to raise the largest amount of money that we use, or able to rather have available, to meet those needs throughout the entire year. So we have a large goal just here in Sioux Falls alone. Our goal is $350,000 at those red kettles.
How many kettles are out in Sioux Falls?
Well, today I think we have about 22. Mm-hmm. We have about 30 locations. Some we're not able to use until we get after Thanksgiving, but we're at all the Hy-Vee stores. We're we're all over the place. My mind just went blank.
Well, the stores are busy, but if you got some loose change, it doesn't hurt to put some loose change in the kettle when you come out of the store.
That's right. You can put that loose change into the kettle. And it makes a difference, and we've been out just about 5 days now doing kettles, and we've already raised over $22,000.
A lot of service clubs, I think, the Lions and a few others help man the ringing the bells. There's a lot of people that volunteer to help with that.
That's correct. We've got service clubs who are getting involved. Lions, Rotary, Optimist clubs get involved in doing things. Kiwanis clubs get involved in doing things, not just at Christmas, but then throughout the year, because we have different groups who come in and help with our night watch program, our meal program. So that's fantastic. We just had a school came in and helped wrap Christmas presents, another thing that the Salvation Army does out of Sioux Falls, with the prison that we have here in town. We visit the prisons in a couple of different areas, and talking to the inmates who have children, and we take a catalog of available toys, and they say, well, I think my little boy would like to have this, my little girl would like to have that, and then we try to match that need, and then they send a little card that says, you know, I'm loving you, wishing I was home, and be home as soon as I can, daddy, or even mommy, because we visit women in the correctional institutions. And we're going to be mailing off within the next 2 weeks gifts to over 450 children.
And they think it comes from their parent.
Well, and that's the good thing about that program is, while it's coming from the Salvation Army, nothing inside of that says it's from the Salvation mm-hmm. Army. The package is wrapped, and we had adults and teens wrap the packages, but mom or dad writes the name of the child on that card, and they enclose a small Christmas card or a little note. So there's nothing in the package, not even the return address. Well, maybe the return address is Salvation Army, but nothing on the package says it's from the Salvation Army. It's from mom, it's from dad.
It's got to mean a lot to those up on the hill.
Well, it does, because it helps them connect with their family. I was just talking with one of the inmates who volunteers with us, that he's got his release date. He's going to be paroled in just a few weeks. And he's so excited because he's going to be back with his family, reunited with his family. And so when we're able to help the inmate connect and stay connected with their child, it's a big help.
Keeping that family together is so important for them not ending going back up to the hill.
It is. Because it helps them stay connected to the community, it helps them to further process. You know, they've had time to sit and think and to reflect and say, you know, wow, I messed up. I'm not going to mess up again. I'm not going to miss another 5 years of my child's life.
Well, it's Thanksgiving week. What are you going to be doing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
Oh, well, Thanksgiving week, Monday, Tuesday, we've got the kettles out there. Mm-hmm. We're ringing the bells, and like I said, we're passing out Thanksgiving baskets. We deliver some. Well, we deliver every month to seniors 450 food baskets, and we're going to be delivering some 200 plus Thanksgiving baskets just to some individuals. And today our building is full of people who are picking up Thanksgiving baskets, and it's just exciting in connection with Avera Hospital and with Feeding South Dakota, just all working together, partnering together to make sure people's physical needs are met.
And you really do have a list. In other words, you're kind of Santa Claus to all the people up on the pen, but you really do have a list of the people who really are in need. And people, you know, they'll send you, you know, I have a neighbor that I think mm-hmm. should be helped. You really have a good idea of where the need really is.
We do. And also one of the things that we do, because we do a monthly program that we call the Good Neighbor, and it gives an opportunity for seniors to come to our building to connect, to have a time of fellowship, but it also helps us to keep contact with Mary Frances or John Patrick, who was here last month but is not here this month. Does anybody know how are they doing? Is she doing all right? Is he doing all right? And so it helps them keep connected, and it's just people reaching out to other people.
Well, a lot of turkeys and a lot of baskets. These are pretty big baskets, is what I'm saying.
Well, we're doing food boxes, mm-hmm. and we've done a number of things. Our gymnasium right now is just, it's lined with literally hundreds of boxes of food. I went over to Avera Hospital earlier in the week. We took our thrift store truck. We filled it all the way up with things that staff people from the hospital had purchased. And they said, I'm going to help a family of one, or I'm going to help a family of six or seven. And so we're picking up, that was the day it started to snow, and boy, it was bitterly cold that day. But it was so nice just being able to be there and to help and to pick up food that people had purchased on behalf of a neighbor they didn't know, but somebody they wanted to reach out and connect with.
A lot of people don't realize the Salvation Army really is a church. You have church services on Sunday morning.
We are. I'm an ordained minister. My wife is an ordained minister. And when you look at the Salvation Army uniform, those who have red backing with their S's or red on their collar, their epaulets rather, on their shoulder, they are the ordained ministers. We have a school for officers training in Chicago. We have four colleges in the United States. But my wife and I are graduates of the Salvation Army College for Officers Training in Chicago, Illinois. And we are a church first and a social services agency second. William Booth, who was the founder of the Salvation Army, he and his wife, Catherine, when he was younger, he worked as a pawnbroker's apprentice. And he would see people bring in their family heirlooms to pawn for a few pounds or pence, you know, get a few dollars to be able to meet the physical need of their family. And it had such an impact upon William Booth that he made a commitment that he was going to give all that he had to meet the physical, spiritual, and the emotional needs of the East End of London. One of the things that I like to illustrate that too, just to give people an idea of what it was like, is using the movie A Christmas Carol.
It really was a Tiny Tim.
It really was. Mm. Really was a Tiny Tim. And, you know, there's really a Scrooge who was just like that. And so I look at those characters, and the attitude that Scrooge had was the attitude that was prevalent at the time of William Booth. Are there not workhouses? Are there not prisons? And if people are bad off, they should go there.
We're stealing a loaf of bread.
Well, yeah. Or go to the debtor's prison because he couldn't make that final payment. And it had moved William Booth's heart so much that he formed the Christian Mission to meet the physical, the spiritual, and the social needs of the East End of London. And from this Christian Mission, it became the Salvation Army. A letter was being written out to the supporters of the Christian Mission that in essence said the Christian Mission is a volunteer army. And he said, no, I'm not a volunteer. I'm in this for the duration. The Christian Mission is a Salvation Army. And well, he was the general superintendent of the Christian Mission. And so in 1865, they adopted the title of the Salvation Army. So he became the general of the Salvation Army. Then they adopted uniform and spread across England, came to the United States in 1880, and we're going to be celebrating 125 years next year here in Sioux Falls.
And I think your service is similar to like a Methodist church.
It is. We're along the same lines as maybe the Methodist Church and the Nazarene Church. So that's the area that William Booth was with as he was growing up. And so we follow that basically same kind of format. The Methodists were great. John and Charles Wesley, they came up with that method, which was their method of service, and we kind of follow that. So,
are we going to see some musicians coming to Sioux Falls sometime?
Well, we are trying to do that. For our 125th anniversary, we're going to have a time where we're getting together out at the Orgoma High School. And we're going to have local musicians going to put on a whole concert there. It's going to be fantastic. And then also coming from Chicago is a group called Bill Booth Players, which is a dramatic group. And they're going to be doing a presentation. And that's coming up around March of next year, celebrating our 125th. One of the things that we do at the Salvation Army right now is we are providing classes on basic instrumental classes for guitar, for brass. So we're trying to continue to move that program of the Salvation Army forward.
Now, you have a gymnasium.
We do have a gym, but like I was saying, due to the fact that we've got the feeding program that goes on, and starting on December the 15th, we do our evening warming site that's open from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. It really prohibits activities in our gymnasium. We have a vision of what we want to do with some surrounding property that we have to build a new social services center that's going to be able to house our social services program, our meal program, our night watch program, as well as our warming site program, so that the gym can once again be used as a place for recreation. I was talking with some of the people and reminding us of some of the things that we've done in the past. We still have roller skates, and we can skate in the gym. But right now, like I said, my gym floor is covered with food. So,
well, the sad part, and I always work with Fran at the Union Gospel when we talk about this, too. He'll be on my program probably next week, is every winter there's somebody that needs shelter.
Well,
and
that's true.
It was every winter there's somebody that dies underneath the river bridge or something, somewhere, every winter.
And we want to help alleviate that. That's why we open up our warming site. We want to make sure that nobody dies due to exposure. So we're going to be open December 15th through April 15th from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., Monday through Sunday. So those entire, 4 or 5 months, we're going to be open every day to provide a place of warmth and a place of safety where men and women can be off of the street.
I know you're working with the city and the county on that.
Mm-hmm. That's true. We partner with the city to make sure that these needs are met, and we be able to get a grant from the city that helps to provide some of the helps cover overhead expenses for that program.
Well, there's all this food and turkey for Thanksgiving, but right after Thanksgiving, you start getting ready for all the things you do for Christmas.
Well, that's true. We've already started that in the fact that we've mailed off Christmas boxes to the children of inmates. We've taken applications and are taking applications for Christmas assistance. We're going to be once again doing our Christmas toy shop, where parents are going to be able to come in and select a child specifically for his or her child. You know, we're not going to pick out the gift for the child. You know, I don't know what the little boy, little girl likes, but mom does, dad does, and so they're going to come in. We're going to be providing winter coats for families who have need of coats. In one of our past appointments, I was talking with a woman. She came up to me, and she had tears in her eyes, and she said, "Major, I want to thank you." And I said, "Well, is everything all right?" She said, "Oh, yes, everything's fine." She said, I just want to thank you. My little boy wanted such and such gift, whatever it was, and she said, "There was just no way I could afford it." But when we took him back to see Santa, because we had Santa, and when we took him back to see Santa, and he handed him a beautifully wrapped gift, and he opened it, he said, "Mommy, this is exactly what I wanted." And it was exactly what he wanted. And she said, with tears running down her cheeks, "I couldn't afford it, but somebody bought it. And her little boy got the thing he wanted." Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus.
On the other hand, it's such a great opportunity for families to teach their children the gift of giving. In other words, yeah, let's get something for somebody else your age. Mm-hmm. You're never going to see him, but here's a boy that likes what you do. Let's get that maybe, for him.
Exactly, and that's what's really, really cool, because I hear families who are talking about that we've taken our child, we took our little boy, we took our little girl out to one of the local stores, and they bought a present for another little boy that they would like to receive. And if they would like to receive that, then they knew that other little boy, that other little girl would like to receive the very same thing. So we have people who know what people need buying a gift for that other child. And it's a wonderful thing. One of the things that I like to tell people, especially around Thanksgiving, is to around your Thanksgiving table, leave that open plate. And the open plate represents that family that you're assisting. It's a cool little tradition to do. It just reminds people that there are people who have need, and here's that plate. Then they put something in the kettle, they've sent in a check, they've done something to help, and here's that open plate that reminds them that they've done something to help someone else.
It's still sad, but about a third of the homeless are veterans.
That is true. We have a large veteran population. That the Salvation Army, along with the VA, with Volunteers of America, are seeking to reach out into that population to help make sure that no vet is homeless. And we're working together with these agencies and individuals to seek to make a difference.
You're a center of a lot of that. Major, if somebody wants to volunteer for your Christmas things after Thanksgiving, are you still looking for volunteers?
We're still looking for volunteers, because we need volunteers for the Night Watch program. We need volunteers throughout the year. As I said, that's a program that we do every week that goes on. And so all they need to do is come by the Salvation Army. We're at 800 North Cliff Avenue. Or they can call the Salvation Army at 338-6649. Ask for Jackie. And she'll connect them. She'll take down the information, connect them with other groups who are able to help assist with volunteering.
A lot of people, you have to marry somebody who wants to be a major in the Salvation Army, too. Now, this is a little bit interesting, I think, if you want to be in the Salvation Army.
Well, again, because the Salvation Army is a church, For those who are in administration, such as the officers, majors, mm-hmm. lieutenants, captains, there is that stipulation. It's reasonable. Let's say that you're the captain of the local Salvation Army and you fall in love with someone you met at some event, and that person just happens to be an executive at a local business. And now, because it's an up-and-coming executive at a local business, they're told they have to move somewhere. Well, you know, the Salvation Army's not ready to move you. Or let's say the Salvation Army says you've been in your appointment for 2 years, it's time for you to move. But because the man's the captain and the woman's not, and she says, well, I just can't leave. I've got huge responsibility with the whatever business she's working at. So the Salvation Army does have that rule. We understand it when we become officers, that an officer marries an officer simply because of the line of the work.
The same in any church if you're going to be a missionary.
Exactly.
Yeah, you have to be ready to go wherever you're going to be going.
That's right.
How do people become, if they want to join the church and become a part of the Salvation Army?
Well, to become a part of the Salvation Army, you simply come and be involved. We have a program that's similar to many of the different churches. I relate it to like a catechism class or a Bible study class, where we sit down and we'll have organized class in the history, the doctrines, the teachings of the Salvation Army. And it's about a 15-week class that covers all of the different 11 doctrines of the Salvation Army, the history of the Salvation Army, the policies and procedures of the Salvation Army, because we want people who are becoming, who have an interest in becoming part of the Salvation Army, to be fully aware of what the Salvation Army is. And then if that person says, I really have a commitment to ministry, and I want to give myself to service through the Salvation Army, and then we ask that they would have at least a minimum of 6 months of volunteer activity or even employed activity, taking part in the Salvation Army, becoming fully immersed in the Salvation Army, knowing, learning, and all about what it is, and then make that commitment by way of applying to officership. Or then we have the school in Chicago. It's a 2-year school. And following those 2 years, there's another 5 years of continuing education that happens at the Olivet Nazarene College in Kankakee, Illinois.
Like going to any seminary. Mm-hmm. The Cougarin. Somebody puts a...
Oh, yes.
This happens every year so far, and we hope it's going to happen again.
I'm hoping it's going to happen here in Sioux Falls. I've never been in an appointment that was blessed with one of those, although I've heard of those individuals. We refer to them as angels, who have that depth of commitment in their heart to provide. So here comes that Cougarin, that gold coin that comes in different communities, where people just say, I want to go the extra mile. I'm going to do something extraordinary.
It just shows up in one of the kettles.
Pops up in a kettle. Sometimes it's wrapped up. I've heard them being wrapped up in a dollar bill. Sometimes they're wrapped up in a Kleenex. So you get a coin that's wrapped up in a dollar. Oh, maybe is this the one? Is this the one?
And like I say, there's a lot of ways people can help the Salvation Army, I guess is what I'm saying.
There are. People help the Salvation Army by remembering us in their will. Mm-hmm. We get those large gifts. Our people say, I'm downsizing. My kids have all moved away, and I'm going to downsize. So they go from living in a 4 or 5 bedroom house to a 2-room apartment, and so they help the Salvation Army with their usable clothing or furniture. So that helps the Salvation Army, and then we take the money that we raise from that to meet people's physical needs. People just remember the Salvation Army regularly through gifts.
And your thrift store is located where?
Our thrift store is just right on, it's at right there on the corner of, 800 North Cliff, right in the same area. It's just right across the street from our building. I don't remember the address exactly, but it's just one block further north from us, and people are able to call in. We have a pickup service, and they'll go out to their house, pick up their items, or they can bring them by.
If they'd like to come to your church service this morning, that's at what time?
Well, our worship service is at 11 o'clock. And we have a good time. We have a praise band that's playing. We have a couple of really nice pianists. And it's just a good time. So 11 o'clock, if they're around town and they're not worshiping somewhere, pop in the Salvation Army. We'd love to have them.
Well, you're probably the busiest man in town right now with all the things going on for Thanksgiving and Christmas. Thomas E. Riggs, Major of the Salvation Army, thank you for being with us on Forum.
John, thank you.